The title of the message tonight is Don't Sit in the Wrong Seat. Don't sit in the wrong seat. Have you ever been somewhere and been sitting in the wrong seat? You had to get asked to move? Maybe at a sporting event with things were kind of full. There's a tendency for people to sit in the wrong seat. And they maybe sit in a little bit better seat, a little bit closer seat. And then somebody else comes and says, sorry, you're sitting in my seats. Can you please move? And they either move down or they go to the upper deck or they go to wherever their seats really are supposed to be. And sometimes we can be guilty of sitting in the wrong seat. And I want to speak to you about that here tonight. Ezekiel chapter 28. And let's read there beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten silver and gold into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy great traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. This is not just referring to the king of Tyre. I believe it's referring to Lucifer. I believe it's another passage like Isaiah that refers to Lucifer. You even see some similarities in imagining what the Antichrist will be like and so on. But also there's many similarities in here that describe certainly Lucifer, what he has done, what he did, what he is doing, and what's going to happen to him. Let's keep reading there. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You know, perfect in beauty even describes really what Lucifer was like. Perfect in beauty, the highest of the archangels. Lucifer, Satan wasn't this guy with red horns and a pitchfork, and he was dressed in a black suit and he was really ugly and mean looking. No, he was an angel of light, perfect in beauty. He didn't come people like a mean old devil. No, he comes to people as an angel of light and deceives people, perfect in beauty. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Remember somebody going there to the Garden of Eden? Meeting up with Eve? Yeah. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. People even believe that Lucifer may have been the one that was in charge of all the music in heaven. You know what? It would seem very fitting today when you consider what rock music and what everything else has done to destroy and to pervert the minds of people. Well, the devil's still in charge of music today. He's still using great influence in the world through music. Through music. Christian, you ought to listen to good music. There's supposed to be a new song, right? We just mentioned that. New songs, new music. Look at the next verse there, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fire. The midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will east thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. If you go back to verse number 2, notice what it said about this king of Tyrus, and I believe it also is referring to Lucifer. It said, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. You know what? We know that Lucifer tried to set himself in the place of God. He tried to sit in God's seat, didn't he? He said, I want to be as God. And he tried to sit in the seat of God. He tried to make himself God. Lucifer tried to exalt himself in pride to sit in the seat of God, to sit in the place of God in his life. He was trying to sit in the wrong seat, a seat that did not belong to him, a seat that he had no right to be sitting in. You know what? We can be guilty of doing the very same thing, where we say, oh, I want to sit in that seat. I want to be God in my life. I want to be in charge of my life. And when we do that, we're guilty of sitting in the wrong seat, just like Lucifer was. Listen, don't try to play God in your life. Don't try to play God in your life. What are some ways that we maybe sometimes do that? First thing, deciding for ourselves what is right and wrong. When we're deciding for ourselves what is right and wrong, we're sitting in the wrong seat. God is the one who determines what's right and wrong. And if you want to learn what's right and wrong, go to the Word of God. Read the Word of God and learn, what does God say is right? What does God say is wrong? That's how you'll find it out. We're not the ones to sit in the seat and say, well, I know what's right, and I know what's wrong, and I know what's best for me. No. When we decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, we're sitting in the seat of God. In the time of the judges, the Bible said about them, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It makes that statement at least twice in the book of Judges. And to be honest, you know, that was one of the worst times for the nation of Israel. That was one of the worst times for the people. Every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. Instead of doing what God says is right to do, they were doing what they wanted to do. They were sitting in the seat of God. How sad it is that statement was made about God's people. You know, we could think, well, it was just the world was wicked at that time. No, the statement was made about God's people, that they were doing what was right in their own eyes. How sad that is. And it seems that's the way the world is again today. Listen, Proverbs 14:12 warns us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You and I are not to be the ones that determine, well, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. And that's what the world tries to do nowadays. They try to say, there's no absolutes, you just decide for yourself what's right, you decide for yourself what's wrong, and you really can't force anything on your children. That's what the world would say. They've got to decide what's right, they've got to decide what's wrong. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's wrong. We're to teach them what God says is right and what God says is wrong, and this is what is pleasing to Him, and this would dishonor the Lord. God is the one who is God. And He's the one that should determine what is right and wrong. Listen, when we decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, we're sitting in the wrong seat. You should be sitting in this seat over here. God should be sitting in that seat over there. God's supposed to be the one on the throne. God's supposed to be the one in charge. And He decides what is right and wrong, not you and me. Let Him decide. Don't sit in the wrong seat. What else? Maybe when we decide what is best for us. When we decide what is best for us, we're sitting in the wrong seat. Do you know that God created you? And God made you? And God knows you better than anybody else in the world knows you. He knows every bit about your emotions. He knows every bit about how you're wired and how you're made and how you think. And God knows what is best for you. If I can quote these verses again, which he just said, which I said this morning, which also got said in Sunday school four times today, you're going to have heard Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen, we're not to decide what's best for us. We're to let God do that. Let God decide what is best for us. Listen, when we decide, we're sitting in the wrong seat. God is supposed to be in that seat. God knows what is best for you. And you're to trust him. You're to follow him. When we decide what's best for us, we're sitting in the wrong seat. When we decide for ourselves what is right and wrong, we're sitting in the wrong seat. When we just go about doing some things on our own without God's help, without God's strength, do you know what we're doing there? We're sitting in the wrong seat. God wants us in our lives to depend on him. He wants to be needed. He's God. We're under him. We're to be his people. We're to be his children. And we're to submit to him. Look with me at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Are we sometimes guilty of forgetting how much we need God? Are we so much of a good Christian now that we can go on being a good Christian without Christ? Do you know just what to do and just how to play and just how to act as a Christian that, you know what, you can do it now all completely on your own and you can do it without him? And you can do it without his strength and without his help, and you can do it without prayer, and you can do it without reading your Bible, and you can do it without all those things. Do you know it's possible to be like that? And do you know it's possible to maybe go witnessing or go soul winning and just, well, I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need God's help. I could do it. You know what we're doing then? We're doing it on our own without him. That's not what God wants. Are we sometimes guilty of forgetting how much we need him? John 15 in verse 1 says this, Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, if Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, as this analogy that Christ is giving says, branches don't give fruit on their own unless they're in the vine. You know, if you cut a branch off a tree, that branch is going to stop bearing fruit. You cut one of the side sprouts or whatever off of a vine, off a branch, off whatever it may be, tree. Listen, it's not going to be able to bear fruit. It can't bear fruit unless it stays grafted in and stays rooted into the vine, Jesus Christ. Listen, do you think we're honestly really bearing the fruit that we should in our lives? Are we bearing spiritual fruit? Are we able to truly have an impact in other people's lives as well? If we're not staying rooted in Jesus Christ and grafted into Jesus Christ like we should. He goes on and says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I think we're guilty many times of forgetting all about that. And we go and we sing our music and we go soul winning, or we act like a Christian, or we go to church, or we pretend we're living the Christian life, and maybe we're not always doing it with God. Listen, it's pretty difficult to be a good Christian without Christ. And sometimes we do that. So I'm a Christian. Yeah, I can tell you when I became a Christian. But you've been going on being a Christian now for the recent years. And you've not prayed in years or months or weeks, whatever, or days. It doesn't matter. Even to go days without praying, to go days without reading our Bible, to go months without reading. Listen, we're a pretty starving Christian. We're not going to be doing so well. We're not going to be truly the Christian and bearing fruit in our lives that God wants if we're not staying rooted in him, abiding in him, and letting his words abide in us. Listen, let's not just be guilty of maybe doing it on our own, being a Christian on our own without Christ, trying to serve Christ in some way on our own. Some of you, if you try to be a witness for Christ, if you teach a Sunday school class, if you sing in the choir, if you do any of those things, listen, let's not do it without the Lord. Let's pray and ask the Lord to use us. Let's pray and ask for God's power as we be good witnesses for Christ. Let's pray and ask God to use us to bear fruit. Ask God to use you in that class to influence the lives of some people. Because on our own, we really can't do it. We can't do it. You know, being smart, being funny, being a good organizer, that doesn't get it done. It's God that has to work in the hearts of people. Some new people are going to start teaching Sunday school and junior church. You know what? You can't get it done. God can get it done. And you better realize you need to rely on Him for strength and help and power, that God can use you as you're abiding in Christ, letting God's word abide in you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Listen, let's not be guilty of doing things on our own. What's another way that sometimes we maybe try to just play God in our life, or we're okay being God, we really don't need God's help? When we seek to do our own will instead of God's will. Look with me back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter 14. I want you to listen very close, and I told you I'm not going to preach long, and I'm going to be done soon, but I want you to really look at this closely. Let's not sit in the wrong seat. That's what Lucifer did. He tried to sit in the seat of God, tried to sit in the place of God in his life. And we can be guilty of doing the same. When we seek to do our will instead of God's will, we're doing the same thing as what Lucifer did. Look at Isaiah 14 and verse number 13. Even let's go back to verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? He is the highest archangel of God. He was in the heavens with God. How art thou fallen from the heavens, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Notice it's his will and not God's will. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Do you know whose will he was doing in each of those decisions? His own will. His will. I will. Not what does God want? What was my position in God's kingdom? What did he want for me? Listen, Lucifer had a high position. He just wanted a great higher position still. He wanted God's position. He wasn't satisfied with what God had given him. And he decided, I want to sit in the throne of God. I want to sit in the place of God. I don't want it to just be God's will. I want my own will. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be in charge. When we seek to do our own will instead of God's will, we can be guilty of that. Lucifer trying to sit in God's seat. Lucifer sitting in the wrong seat. Let me read this to you, and it'll be a little bit lengthy, but listen very closely. And I just want to read to you actually some of J. Vernon McGee's commentary about these particular verses. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from the heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Lucifer is none other than Satan. Lucifer, according to Ezekiel 28, is the highest creature that God ever created. But he was a Judas Iscariot. He turned on God. He set his will over God's will. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, the Lord Jesus says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In 1 John 3, 8, we're told, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then in Revelation chapter 12, 7 and 9, we're told, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That being Lucifer, or Satan. Fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is a picture of this creature, Lucifer, at the very beginning. We read, you know, we learn from scriptures here and there. How did it happen that Lucifer was kicked out of heaven? Because I will. I think I want to sit in that seat. Excuse me, move over, God. Move over, God. I want that seat. I want to decide. I want to be in charge. I want my own will. Again, in Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mounts of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. These are the five I wills of Lucifer. He was setting his will over against the will of God. This is sin in its embryo. This is the evolution of evil. There is no evolution of man, but there is an evolution of sin. It began by a creature setting his will against the will of God. This is man's original sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know what? Murder is sin, not just because God says it is, but because it's contrary to the will and character of God. Anything that is contrary to the character and will of God is sin, regardless of what it is. Anything. Anything that we want to do that's contrary to the will of God in our lives is sin. Imagine little bitty puffed up creature man who says to God, I won't do what you want me to do. I'm going to do it my own way. And that's exactly what man is saying today. Well, friend, you're not going to do things your way because God's will is going to prevail in the final analysis. Therefore, the prayer of all of God's people should be, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Anything contrary to his will is sin, regardless of what it is. The sin of Satan was pride. He did not go out and get drunk and he didn't steal anything. He just in pride went against God's will. He was created as an angel of light. He was the son of the morning, a perfect being. He was given a free moral will. He could choose what he wanted. But he was lifted up, so lifted up by pride, that he set his will against the will of God. It wasn't the purpose of Satan to be different from God. He wanted to be like God. In other words, he wanted to be God. He put his will above the will of God. And any creature who does that puts himself in the place of God. What do they do? Sit in the seat of God. Sit in the wrong seat. There are many men like Lucifer today. They put their will above the will of God and take his place. That is what sin is all about. There are only two ways in life, God's way and man's way. God's way and man's way. Pleasing God or pleasing self, right? My friend, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. My friend, you live in God's universe today. You breathe his air and enjoy his sunshine. He never sends you a bill for either one or for the life he furnishes. You are his creature. You owe him a great debt. And you are to obey him. Listen, when we so determinately in life, sometimes we say, I want my will. My will, my will, my will, my way. We're sitting in the wrong seat. We're sitting in the wrong seat. Let God be God. Let God be God. When we decide what's right and wrong, we're sitting in the wrong seat. When we decide what's best for us instead of trusting him, we're sitting in the wrong seat. When we're going about doing things on our own and so on, we're sitting in the wrong seat. Because when we go about doing things on our own, to God it's a sign of, oh, they're proud. They don't think they need me. That's the way God feels. You can study even 1 Peter 5:5-7. He does not like that pride. He wants us in humility to understand how much we need him. Remember John 15, without me he can do nothing. And when we seek to do our own will instead of God's will, we're sitting in the wrong seat. We're sitting in the wrong seat. That's exactly what Lucifer did. Let's not sit in the wrong seat. Don't sit in the wrong seat.